The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back, flying by the seat of our pants here on Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics down there in Citation Lane in beautiful Homewood, Alabama. Of course, Seth has just started that business back in October. He also owns Ed's Pet World, in business for 50 years, exotic pets. And of course, if you're looking for toys or comics, check out Sasquatch Toys and Comics. They do fantastic stuff. We love them very much, and they're a proud sponsor of Dark Side of the Pooch. He is Dr. Rab Stewart. He's on the left-hand side of the screen. If you're watching us here on our YouTube channel, of course, wherever you listen on TKR, we're on 5 days a week, and wherever you get your favorite podcast. And as you can see on my lower right, I have my daughter who is off school today. Hi. She has been a sweetie pie, and she's written a bunch of questions for Dr. Rab, and I told her she was allowed to ask one question because I think we'll be here for a couple of hours if she was going to follow through. First of all, Dr. Rab, how are you, my partner? Are you doing okay?
I remember when that little girl was not even breathing oxygen.
Yes.
Yet.
She is now 11 years old. So I'm going to hand her the headphones and let her take over the podcast for a minute so she can ask you a question. Is it okay?
Oh, yeah.
All right, here you go. Get on there.
Hi.
Oh, my gosh. Look, it's the second generation Curry on the radio.
I know.
It's scary.
Okay. How are you?
Good. I have an interesting question.
Let's. I can't wait.
Can animals be autistic? And if they can, have you had to deal with one before?
I don't know about autism, but there are definitely dogs and cats that have very different temperaments and behaviors than others. So maybe one day we'll know if it's something that would be the equivalent of autism, but there's definitely dogs that have like separation anxiety. So they're very fearful when their owners leave. There are dogs that are fearful of loud noises or fearful of other people or dogs. There are dogs that have very short attention spans like mine. You know, he can't stay focused on anything ever. So I don't know if it could be considered autism. I don't know if we will ever know that, but there are definitely dogs that have different behavioral personalities.
Okay. You want to ask another question? Go ahead.
Yes. How many cats and dogs have you brought to life?
Wow. How many have I brought back to life from the jaws of death?
Or how many has he delivered? How many has he delivered or brought back from life?
Brought back from life.
Brought back from life. All right.
You know, I have probably, this is very, this is a low number because fortunately we don't have a whole lot of problems. But, you know, pets that are dying that we don't expect to die and don't want to die, we can usually bring them back, and that number is probably 6 or 8 in almost 15 years of practice. So, but fortunately, the number of those that try to die really isn't that much higher than that. I can only think of one, literally one case in my entire career that we did not expect to die, and we couldn't bring it back. And that dog ended up having, we sent it off to have a pathologist do what's called a necropsy. So it's not an autopsy. An autopsy is getting way too technical, but an autopsy is when someone, like a human, does an autopsy on another human. But a necropsy is when a species does a postmortem exam on a different species. That's called a necropsy. So a human is doing a postmortem exam on a dog. So anyway, we had a necropsy done, and that dog had a brain disorder. But had no symptoms of it yet because it hadn't had the brain disorder long enough. So that dog died, and we had no clue that it had the disease that it had. So fortunately, the necropsy told us why the dog died, and we couldn't bring it back.
Oh.
Okay, you want to ask one more?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Are dogs or cats smart enough to count?
Oh, now that's a good question, because if you have looked, a video went viral yesterday where evidently there's a dog out there. If you pull up dog doing math problem, it can do math. They're asking it like 6 + 7 and it's counting out 13. It's pretty amazing stuff. So can dogs and cats count?
I think you can teach a pet how to count. I've never taught any of my own pets how to count, but I think you could. I think you could do that. And even if maybe they couldn't count, they can fool you enough to make you think that they can. You know what I'm saying? Like,
how does that work?
If you ask it the same problem over and over again, that's not really counting. That's just memorizing the problem, you know? So I think you could definitely do that. But it sounds like that
she taught Rainer how to roll over today. So much like methodical, doing the same thing over and over and over again, you could probably get him to count if you wanted to.
I think so. Right,
get out of here.
Okay.
Great job.
Thank you, Jane.
Bye-bye.
It's nice to know I've got someone to cover for me if I can't ever do the show.
I don't know, man. You might want to just like go ahead and just let her do the whole thing.
I know, right? I'm going to ask several other questions that she asked. What is the name of a good doggy hair dye?
Oh, I can ask my groomer and tell you. I have no idea.
All right. Why do dogs chase cats? I told her, she goes, which one should I ask? And I said, don't ask that question, because it's pretty easy to figure out. She goes, well, what's the answer? And I said, well, I really don't know. But why do dogs chase cats?
Because they run.
Because they run. There you go.
Because they run.
Why do cats hiss?
Oh, to scare you.
Okay.
Just to scare you.
All right. Is it possible for a dog to meow and a cat to bark?
I think it could be. I think it's more. I wish I knew this number off the top of my head, but I don't. Cats can make way more, a much larger variety of noises than dogs. And it's not just purring and hissing. It's and meowing. There's tons of noises that they can make. So I would say that it is much more likely that a cat would be able to bark than a dog would be able to hiss or meow.
That'd be kind of cool. And finally, why do dogs and cats have their thumbs up their arms? It's kind of a good question. The thumbs are way up here, you know?
It's a good question. And it's just the way that the good Lord made them. But you know what? I feel like there was another youngster in my office that asked that same question. But I just showed her my hand, you know, and like, you know, my thumb's kind of, it's up there. It's not here.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not growing out there. It's growing up there.
That's true. She also wanted to know, can dogs and cats have moving thumbs? I guess she's asking if they can.
Oh, no, they can't. I think the only living things that can do that are us and primates.
Okay, there you go.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's just us and primates that have an opposable thumb.
They really have a reason to have an opposable thumb. That's a good question. All right, I saw this story a couple of days ago, and this is post-COVID vaccine wear and tear. A recent survey has found that 57% of all dog owners in the United States are questioning the safety and efficacy of the rabies vaccine. Now, this is interesting because I was just talking to my daughter and my son last night about rabies, because I was going to get Rainer a haircut and he has not had his rabies shot. His last rabies shot was August of last year. And so I need to bring him into the Rossburg Animal Hospital to make sure I get his rabies shot, so they'll give him a bath and a grooming. As you just saw, Frisco is good to go, but I forgot to bring in Rainer, so I need to do that here next week. But 57% are saying that they don't believe in the efficacy and the safety of the rabies vaccine, which is obviously a lethal disease. Can you please tell the people out there that they have nothing to worry about and how important it is that they have rabies vaccines?
The rabies vaccine is incredibly effective. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the most effective vaccines that we give to animals. You know, all you have to do is look at the number of rabid animals that have had a rabies vaccine versus the number of wild animals that have rabies that have never had a rabies vaccine.
Yeah.
And you know, we just, you don't see rabies in animals that have been vaccinated against rabies. It's an effective vaccine.
Yeah. And we always tell people too, that if you're ever bitten by an animal, whether it's a rat or a squirrel or a chipmunk or a raccoon or something, don't let it go. Keep
rodents. Them. Rodents do not carry rabies.
Okay.
Rodents can't give you rabies, but things like raccoons, foxes, they, you know,
if they do, you need to test those animals though. You need to test those animals to make sure, or otherwise you're going through the painful shot regimen yourself because you get rabies.
Absolutely. If you get bitten by an animal, you need to, if it's a dog or a cat, it needs to be confined for 10 days to be sure that it doesn't break with rabies. If you can't prove that it's had a rabies vaccine. And if you've been bitten by a wild animal, then if it's possible to get the animal, then get it, submit its brain for rabies testing. But if you can't, you need to see your doctor. Yep. You need to go see your doctor and talk to him about it.
And we all remember the Ozzy Osbourne story when the person threw the live bat up on stage and he bit the head off it off. He thought it was a rubber bat. It was a live bat. And of course he had to go through the rabies regimen of getting shots in the stomach, which was not, and I'm assuming you still have to go through that regimen, correct?
It's different. It's different now. It's not as painful. You don't have to get the injections through your belly. But I will tell you that just a regular rabies vaccine, which I had that quoted recently, it's almost $500.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. Final question from Lila, since this show is wide open today. She wants to know, can cats or dogs get COVID?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's proven evidence of dogs and cats getting COVID.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We affectionately call this Mutt Mail. We'll give you some mail here from all of our emails and all the people, the thousands of folks who listen to Dark Side of the Pooch. He is Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, RossbridgeVet.com. Check them out, of course, on Facebook, not to mention at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, or now the X platform, it is called. Holly in Tupelo wants to know, is it okay to give my dog Zyrtec?
Yeah. Yep. Two milligrams per kilogram, well, up to 2 milligrams per kilogram twice a day or once a day.
And that goes for all allergy medicines, Claritin D. Can you give your dogs Claritin D?
You can. You can give your dog Claritin. You can give your dog Benadryl.
And that would be for allergies and what else? Anxiety or anything else?
No, just allergies.
Just allergies?
Yeah, allergies. You're not going to – Benadryl does not Benadryl does not have the same sedative properties that happen in humans. So we have a lot of people say, oh, you know, my dog seemed restless, so I gave it some Benadryl to try to knock it out. It didn't work at all. Yeah. Because it usually doesn't work that way in dogs.
Okay. Piper wants to know, I've heard that dental bones can be harmful to my dog's teeth. He fed his dog a dental bone. The dog absolutely loved it. And then all of a sudden the dog wouldn't eat anything is because he cracked a molar in the back of his teeth. Are dental bones good or bad for dogs?
Well, I think that we have to figure out exactly what we're talking about with dental bones. Mm-hmm. Things that are like, for example, anyone out there that wants to have a really good, dental treat or a dental water additive or a diet specifically for oral hygiene needs to go to vohc.org, and that is tons of foods and treats and water additives that are tested by third party veterinarians, and they are proven to help cut down on tartar, prevent plaque by 15% or greater. Okay. There's not going to be anything on that website that's going to cause teeth to be fractured, because if there's something that's hard enough to cause a tooth to be fractured, it's not something you want them chewing on. Okay. So hard bones, you know, the old, you know, give the dog a bone, all that kind of stuff. If it's hard, they're going to break their teeth, and that could potentially lead to oral surgery. If they have an open pulp cavity, it's going to get infected and that tooth has to be pulled. So, kind of stay away from hard things.
Okay. So, my brother lives in Lawrenceburg, Indiana, lives out in the woods, shoots deer. His dogs are outside all the time, and all they do is chew on deer bones. He gives his dogs raw deer bones all the time, and he's been doing it for years, and I don't know if that's safe or not. Of course, he's also given them cigars and everything else. They'll chew anything he throws at them. So when you see the bones in the stores, these big hand-wrapped bones, those giant bones, are those okay for dogs? And if you're going to give, I know we have the holidays coming up with Thanksgiving. We have turkeys. We have raw things. We have a lot of people that throw things out in the yard. What can we give our dogs as far as in bones?
Well, you just, you know, things that are real thick and hard, you got to be careful with that stuff. Yeah. So, you know, if the bones are not really thick, then they may be able to get away with chewing them up and not breaking their tooth. But something that's, you mentioned deer, something that should definitely be off of the list are deer antlers. Don't give your dogs that ever.
Okay.
Because they're really dense. They're going to break a tooth on that.
Okay. Michelle wants to know, she said she's heard you can treat a dog's diarrhea with rice. Is it true?
There's some truth to that. There are some foods that we feed dogs routinely that have sensitive stomachs. And one of the main ingredients in those foods is rice.
Huh.
And so that rice is there for a reason. Now you don't want to just feed a dog a diet of rice for, you know, weeks on end, because they're not getting everything that they need. But, you know, if your dog has diarrhea and you want to give it rice for a day or two and see if it clears up, you can. And the rice might help it, or it might be totally incidental.
All right. Do you have a question? All right. Come on. Go ahead.
Does Dad look pretty with his crown on his head?
Yes. Does Daddy look? Yeah.
Well, let me clear this up, because with or without the crown, he looks great.
All right. Anything else going on at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital that you want to share with us? Any crazy stories you want to share with us?
We had an interesting case. You know, when we have interesting cases, I try to mention them. Sometimes I don't remember them. Recently we had a case of immune mediated hemolytic anemia.
Ooh, what is that?
And it's a disease where the body's immune system attacks its own red blood cells.
Oh, wow.
So that for some reason, the body will make basically an antibody, and it will get attached to a red blood cell, and the immune system will then destroy it. And we really don't, in a lot of cases, we don't really understand why it happens, and it'll just happen out of the blue. The dog will be, and cats can get it too, but they'll be very weak. They can have high fevers. On their blood panel, of course, their red blood cell count's really low. Their hematocrit's really low. They can also have elevations in their white blood cell count. That's just part of the syndrome. And they'll also be very pale. Their mucous membranes and their skin color will be very pale. And it's because they don't have a lot of blood cells, because they're all being destroyed. So there are other things that can cause this. Like, for example, if they have a bloodborne infection or like a parasite or something, the immune system will, you know, rightfully destroy those red blood cells. But in this case, it's the body attaching something to that red blood cell that is not foreign, and the immune system just destroys it. So if you can catch it quickly, then you can just begin treatment with some immunosuppressive drugs. If you don't catch it quickly, then they may have to have a blood transfusion as well as the immunosuppressive drugs. Usually the treatment is it's several months. Usually start out pretty strong with immunosuppressive drugs. And then over the course of, you know, maybe 6 or 8 months, you can eventually either wean them totally off or maybe wean them down so they're not taking them as often. So it's an interesting disease.
That's great. And I'm assuming your patient was okay.
Yeah, so far so good.
Okay, good.
They're coming in for a recheck tomorrow. So we've run some tests that have kind of confirmed what the disease is, because there are some tests you have to run to confirm it. You can have your suspicions just by the physical exam and the routine blood work. But, you know, after you diagnose it, at that point, it's up to the dog to respond to the medication. And sometimes one immunosuppressive drug works, but other times you have to add another one. So kind of crazy. Wait and see.
All right. It is the holidays. If you're looking to board your pets, make sure you call the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. Do so as quickly as possible, because they will fill up It is 208-0301, RossBridgeVet.com, and of course at RossBridgeVet on Twitter as well as X and Facebook. Hey man, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Over 95% effective is the rabies vaccine. I was looking it up.
95. There you go.
Over 95.
I think that just because of the COVID vaccination and obviously the separation of how we felt about all that stuff, and now it does seem like every time you turn the TV on, there's some new vaccine out there, and I think people think just some type of, I don't know.
Yeah, the rabies vaccine is legit.
Take care of your poochies and your kitty cats. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
See you next week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.